Hello, and welcome to Geek Speak, where support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. Info at 948-7992. Also by Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. Hi, I'm Marty Reinerson from Blueby Interactive, joined by Louis the Computer Guy.
Hey, Marty.
And by Mac McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
Am I on?
You're on.
I can't hear myself.
Yeah. So, Matt, you were almost our foreign correspondent last week, huh?
Just a few days off, yes.
Drat.
Just a few days.
You guys should have done like a help desk call-in from Viasat. Yeah. You're out there hanging out with Donna Dalton.
Yeah, Thursday morning. That was pretty cool.
Nice.
It's a huge campus.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like 13 buildings, and they are gigantic buildings, and they're building more of them.
Do they have like, is there a room, like a really big room with a big glass wall with like lines on it and like little blips and you know, stuff, some guys with laser pointers pointing at them? And
I don't know. I didn't get to see the whole facility.
Oh, they didn't let you into the inner sanctum, did they?
No, they.
Yeah.
No, I don't have GS-13 clearance or whatever's required for.
GS-13. Nice. Oh, that's good. Yeah, that would be, I visualize this, you know, big kind of like a war room, you know, where they're like manipulating all the satellites and watching what we're surfing and stuff. But
yeah,
that's just my weird fantasy. Strange ramblings.
Yes. So yeah, it was really great to see Donna and get to see where she's working now and where the other places she worked within the same company for the last several years.
Well, you know, I'm glad to hear it because I had suspected that she didn't like, was just kind of making the whole thing up, you know, those friends of hers that work there that supposedly call up with her and stuff. And
I met a few of them.
Yeah. Cool.
That's a couple of them said they'd called in over the years. Yeah.
Nice. Did you get in any traffic jams when you were out there?
You know, everyone says that LA traffic is terrible, but I don't know if we just missed it or it just wasn't that bad.
No, the problem is that you have Glenwood Springs as a point of reference.
Yes, Glenwood Springs is the point of reference. So
yeah, LA traffic's not that bad.
Denver traffic, not a problem.
There you go.
So I don't know.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Well, Marty has been working a story. I'm about 2/3 of the way through reading the
security issue that we need to be concerned with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, take it away.
Well, apparently, we have a phone call.
Oh, my God.
Let's take the phone call. Then we'll come back to that. Hi, you're on Geek Speak.
Hey, geeks. It's Donna. How are you? Oh,
good. Full report. About the war room. We want to hear about the war room.
We have this. We have some microfilm that Matt brought from his spy camera. But other than that, we want to know more.
It was really great having Matt out here. I was really happy to show him around because... Uh-huh. You know, most people aren't really interested in touring around an engineering company, but so I was really overjoyed.
Why do you call yourselves engineers? I mean, are there really trains there?
I mean, no, I have no idea. That's a really good question, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I thought I'd give you guys a call and say hello and say thanks again, Matt, for coming.
Thank you for the tour.
Yeah, and of course, you know, if anybody's ever looking for a job, just let me know.
One of the main reasons that we would have never considered that is because of the traffic out there, and now we've got the Grand Avenue Bridge to bring everything into perspective.
Oh, that's right. And, remind you, Louie, we do have openings in Denver.
Okay.
The trick is to live where you work, right near where you work. That's the trick. Then you don't have to worry about traffic. But
got it.
Anyway, I wanted to mention, I heard that there's an app, and I don't remember what it is, on emergency numbers, like what we have here in the United States, 911.
Mm-hmm.
There's an app that that has all the emergency numbers for like all different countries, so that if you're traveling and you have an emergency, that you can go to this app and find the local emergency number. Have you heard about that app?
No, that sounds very cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I find it, I will let you know.
It'd be nice to have one that has the like city police and the sheriff's offices for all the counties, or based on a geolocation or something. That'd be a slick app.
You mean locations in addition to phone numbers?
Well, like, yeah, so like, let's say you're in Glenwood Springs and they have the Glenwood Springs PD department. You know, the Glenwood Springs PD has their own phone number separate from 911 for, you know, for important calls but not emergency calls.
Right.
So it'd be nice to have that information all indexed for you.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Why don't you do that, Matt?
I'll see if it already exists. Otherwise, maybe I will.
Yeah.
So Donna, let me ask you, do you watch a show called The IT Crowd? Have you ever watched that show?
No, but I'm going to write it down. Should I?
Oh, absolutely. It's a British sitcom about a couple of hopeless geeks that have been relegated to the basement of a big company's, you know, IT department.
Oh, God.
But one of the episodes, they basically talk about how there's a new emergency number. And it's the whole premise of it is this ridiculous. The number is 0118-999-881-999-119-725-3.
Okay. So, I'm laughing already. What was it called? The IT what?
It's called, if you just Google the IT crowd, new emergency services number, it'll take you right to the YouTube video of it.
Okay.
It's absolutely hilarious. It's complete with a little old lady falling downstairs and everything. It's great. So.
Okay, very good. I will definitely do that.
Isn't that where we got, did you turn it off and back on again?
Yeah, that's where, if you turn it off and on again, that's where that comes from.
So, oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Besides the fact that it's the best practical advice for somebody using a computer that there ever was, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just wanted to call before Marty got into his thing, and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
It's going
to
be pretty meaty, I'll tell you.
Okay, very good. Thanks, you guys.
All right, see you, Donna.
Have a good day.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Thanks.
It's good to hear from our foreign correspondent.
Absolutely. It is. You know, that translator she speaks through really does the job. I mean, it strips out the Southern California accent and everything. So, and all those slang terms that she uses.
Like the in front of a highway?
Yeah.
The five.
The five. As opposed to Chicago where it's the five.
Oh.
Right?
Okay. I would just call it five.
Yeah. So tell us.
So apparently, anyone can do, actually, I should rephrase this. So if you have a mobile ad, companies will do a mobile ad like YouTube, and they can target people who actually see their ads. It's like they say, oh, I want to see everyone in Seattle, the West Coast, who's getting my ads, and they get some information back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way now that these coordinators, this isn't Wired, by the way, if you just Google a track location mobile ads, you'll see this article.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a proof of concept from University of Washington security team, where they made a mobile ad that they put out for as little as $1,000, and they targeted
a mobile app. Right?
Mobile ad that will be seen on
ad.
Ad.
Okay.
That's seen on mobile apps.
All right.
So they did so specifically in a very small area. And the idea is when you buy a mobile ad for a specific app, if it's open, then they get some information that, oh, so-and-so, your ad has been seen.
Okay.
And so that's the first step. So that, so like I said, if you use YouTube free version, which has ads, every time an ad's presented to you, YouTube gets some basic data information.
Okay.
So the idea is if you had not only if you were looking to track somebody, if you knew their actual ID, their actual phone ID, and you knew that they may be using this app, whatever app it might be, you could actually get their geo information where they are and really much track them in real time. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So it's really interesting.
So why would anybody care where I am? I guess is my number one question. So,
well, I guess their main point is that you don't have to be a major corporation or, FBI track people if you know what you're doing. And this is not like a bug. This is a feature, as they say.
Sure.
Of mobile ads.
Yeah.
You can. So in this article, their main point would be like there's someone that a coworker or a spouse or somebody that wanted to track somebody.
Oh, okay.
They could pretty easily figure out
they
would know their
nefarious reasons.
Yeah, for nefarious reasons, they could figure out their ID from the from the Wi-Fi or something, and
got it.
And then they could track you while you walk around.
Okay.
If you have that one app open. Yeah. So you have to have that app open. So,
sure.
So the learning lesson is don't use the free apps.
Yeah. And if it's an iPhone app, then, you know, because literally half the people that use iPhones don't know how to force quit all their applications. They usually have 30 or 35 or 40 apps piled up in the background. It's always running.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So, but yeah, so the title of the article that you sent me is "It Takes Just $1,000 to Track Someone's Location with Mobile Ads."
Yep.
I'm saying we like start up a GoFundMe and like kind of decide, you know, I have a combination GeekSpeak drawing and a GoFundMe and decide who we want to track and raise $1,000 and track them, you know. And every week we'll, you know, basically discuss their comings and goings.
There you go.
You know. So
then we have to get their MAC address for their phone so we can figure out who they are.
It didn't say anything of yeah. MAC address or phone number.
No, the MAC address.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure Matt's already grabbed yours.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah. Mine's available right on my website for anybody who does want
to. Yeah. You know. Well, I was going to say, all you have to do is, as long as your Wi-Fi is on, you just set up a sniffer, and when it tries to connect to an open, or when it goes out and says, hey, what's here, you can get the MAC address for any device in range.
Yeah.
So
cool.
There's easy tools for
just
that.
Just do ARP, right?
Well, no, they don't even have to be connected. You just have to have the access point set up to log the MAC addresses that are attempting to, you know, that are, you know, pinging out.
There you go. Okay.
Actually connected.
Yeah, so let me pull up yours here. I'm just kidding. But
so Matt, give us a full report where you've been, Louis, next week, I guess.
Good.
Yeah.
And I only stopped at Taco Bell to go to the bathroom. Just in case my wife asks. So, well, that is some interesting stuff. It's becoming, you know, it's
just another security hole.
Yeah. How can you carry a smartphone and just not be, you know, a complete sitting duck?
Oh, but speaking of the smartphone security we talked about last week, apparently we were talking about the Blueborn, the Bluetooth security issue. Mm-hmm. Apparently, at least for Android, there's a Blueborn
Vulnerability scanner.
Thank you.
Blueborn vulnerability scanner.
I can't pronounce words more than three syllables.
Okay.
There's a scanner app for the look at your phone to see if it's susceptible to the Blueborn virus.
Oh, okay.
So on Android. So
all right.
And apparently, if you have the latest version of Android,
virus. It's a vulnerability.
Oh, the vulnerability. Yeah,
let's not create any hysteria here because, and when you tell people there's a virus floating around, then all of a sudden they.
It's a remote code vulnerability, which means that you can send pieces of amalgamous information to the phone and have the phone execute it.
I thought it was bubonic plague.
Bubonic.
That's what I thought it was. So that's why I called it a virus.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there is an app out there to tell if your phone is susceptible to the bubonic.
Now, is there an app out there that tells me that can tell me if your phone is susceptible to it?
Yeah, you just send the code to it and see if it takes it or not.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah,
so. If you have the Bluetooth on, of course.
Got it.
So, so if you have the latest version of Android, you can have your Bluetooth on.
Yeah. Luckily, my hacking days are over. You know, I don't know if you ever heard that. My very first appearance on GeekSpeak was as an anonymous hacker.
Really?
By the name of R Factor.
Hmm.
And I was disguising my voice and everything. It was when Captain Father Mark and Neil were doing.
We'll have
the show.
To dig that up on the archives.
Yeah. So. That would be very interesting to do.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
So, yeah. So, if we made people a little nervous about their Bluetooth connections last week. Mm-hmm. So, there are some tools to see if you're
fine. I was nervous about it until I tried to get my Bluetooth speaker working this weekend, and then I forgot all about it. Mm-hmm. I just turned it on, and I rocked out. So
luckily, it only works for about 30 feet unless you have a pretty nice antenna attached to the... Mm-hmm. To your tool.
So if you wrap your like Bluetooth speaker or something in tin foil, can you protect it against the Blueborn virus?
Well, if you ground it out, you can create a Faraday cage around your Bluetooth and nothing will get in and out.
Got it. Okay. Good.
How about your car? How would you put a Faraday cage around your car?
You'd have to get cameras so you can see what you're doing driving forwards. Or is there, do we have, what is that,
They don't have one-way Faraday glass that you can put
in
your car?
Well, you might be able to put up like gold or silver or something like low-E glass and ground it and have it act like that, but I'm not certain.
Got it.
Probably have to find some scholarly articles for that one.
Yeah. So let's see. What are some of the other things that's on our radar this week? I really think that, you know, if anybody out there has a broken computer, they should call us at 963-2976. Because full disclosure, I haven't fixed any computers yet today. So
this would be a good time to do
that. I haven't tried, but I haven't.
So you're actually soliciting someone.
I'm 0 for 0 right now.
Soliciting someone to call about their computer issue.
I have a worse, I don't know, arguably a worse record than the Denver Broncos at this point for fixing computers just on the day.
Well, they're at least 50-50.
So, yeah, exactly. But it took them how many weeks to get there? And the last few computers they tried to fix are not working.
They really dropped the ball on the last two.
So, you know, I'd like to send out a shout out to the Denver Broncos for making it possible for me to take a nap yesterday afternoon, somewhere like starting around the middle of the third quarter. So this is when I threw in the towel. So, so we talked about Wi-Fi vulnerabilities last week as well. It's did you catch all that? Did you listen to the show last week, Matt?
No, I was on the beach.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't listen to the show.
My feet were getting cooked.
You're getting your toes in the sand.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, there is an archive, too.
Yeah. Well, you unplug.
Okay. But you could go to kdnk.org and listen to last week's show.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I got caught up from John, so it's okay. Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about the beach? How busy was it? Was the beach busy? Was there a lot of people there?
No, it wasn't too bad. I mean,
it's like a weekday, right?
Yeah, so, weekday. Yeah, not bad.
Oh, man. To be able to go to the beach on a weekday, that...
Got to line it up every
once in a while. Really good. Yeah. So. It's, I am really thinking that I need to do that more. So, yeah. And let's see. What is bubbling up on the...
So where did we leave off of that Wi-Fi security? What was our advice to...
I updated all my Wi-Fi devices this week. The last week.
Yeah. And, okay. So how does that help? Because from what we understand, I mean, is there a plug for the WPA2 handshake problem?
So my understanding is that the handshake, the handshake is supposed to use several sets of random numbers.
Okay.
And so each connection gets its own set of random numbers that it uses to create the connection, to create the encryption at that point. But what was happening is that the software on the AP end was using the same key
access point, right?
Yeah, the access point was using the same key to generate all the connections for WAP.
It was recycling them or regurgitating the same one over and over again, right?
Right. So if somebody catches that negotiation and you just need a piece of software to do that, you catch the negotiation and then you can get in.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And so
updated
firmware. You have to update the firmware on the access point to make it so that it's using a random number to make the negotiation as opposed to the static one that it was using previously.
Okay, got it. All right. And do you have have your finger on the pulse of how many companies have actually issued updated firmware for that? I suppose that's something I can Google, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, it looked like Ubiquiti has already done that with their Unify products.
Okay.
So I'm guessing many other ones are probably following suit on that one.
All right. Well, let's see. I'm gonna Google in wireless routers with WPA2 patch available.
Well, it sounds like if you have an Android device with a patch level of November 6, 2017 or later, you're protected against these vulnerabilities. Although November 17 hasn't happened yet, so not sure what that means.
Okay.
That means they're doing testing until November 17th.
Okay.
So.
November 6th.
And if you're a Verizon customer, it'll be a couple months after that, probably.
Okay. Well, I was able to find an article that says how to patch your devices against the crack Wi-Fi vulnerability right now. Boom.
What are the solutions?
Says news broke about a major security vulnerability in WPA2, see also last Monday, right? Which is the security that underpins nearly every single wireless network. The flaw was disclosed by security researcher Matthew Van Hoof, rather than hackers, which means that every single device vendor spent this morning panic pushing security updates out to their consumers. Your The bad news, your Wi-Fi network and your devices are almost certainly vulnerable. The good news, though, is that you can probably patch them right now. And so good. This is where we've got some solutions here. First off, there's good news for Windows and iOS users about crack. It doesn't matter for you. Wow. I thought that iOS was a big deal. I thought it was. Although the vulnerability is technically present, any realistic attack using crack against Windows or newer versions of iOS won't work or doesn't prevent a serious threat. So there's a good clarification that we didn't have last week. And a Windows patch to fix the issue was released on October 10th. So anyone who's updating their PC since then, anyone who's updated their PC since then or has auto updates enabled should be fine. So I know there is a pretty good community of people out there who, and, you know, unfortunately, there have been instances where the Windows updates cause the Windows computer to not work so good, if not not work at all.
I've had a few of those happen.
Yeah. And but I'm just here to say that Matt and I pretty much depend on that for our livelihood. So you guys should go ahead and do those updates, right?
Exactly.
Don't you agree, Matt?
Sure.
Yeah, do them.
Make sure you have a backup.
It'll also help you. Yeah, make sure all your documents are backed up. But anyway, it looks like if you go ahead and update your Windows computer, you know, make sure it's fully updated, then you will not be vulnerable to this what's called the K-R-A-C-K vulnerability that we talked about last week, which pretty much makes Wi-Fi a an easy path into your computer to get it infected or put in a worm virus. I think wasn't that the scenario we watched?
Yeah, absolutely. Crack? Yeah,
or was that Blueborn? Was it Blueborn that was doing a kind of a worm malware thing? Anyway,
it seems like Bluetooth would be more likely to be a worm kind of thing.
But got it. Okay.
Well, the crack thing we realized, or the gist of that article last week was saying look at your, make sure you're secure. When you think it may not be secure, you think it may be secure, make sure your lock is locked. Yeah.
So let's see. It says iOS 11 and macOS High Sierra both make the attack difficult to execute, according to researchers. So anyone running those operating systems should be fine. iOS 11 is already downloaded to nearly 50% of all Apple devices that are capable of running it. So Apple users are well on the way to being safe. So if your iPhone is screaming to update, do it. And let's see. The biggest problem for client devices is Android. Researchers suggest that 41% of Android devices are vulnerable to an exceptionally devastating version of the attack, which allows attacks to insert fake websites into a network and collect sensitive information. So it sounds like it's especially important. Google has said that its own Pixel devices will be the first to get a patch for the attack, and that will come on November 6th. Other manufacturers will likely push Android updates to fix the flaw sometime after Google. But given the number of Android devices still being used, that won't get a security update. Old Android devices are likely to be the weakest link. So, if you have an old Android device,
use your cell phone data.
You need to seek some help.
Yeah, or just use your cell phone data.
Yeah.
If you do cell phone data, there's no chance.
Especially if you're in one of the carriers that does unlimited. And, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but cell phone data, if you're in a good 4G area, a lot of times you can get better speeds than most of the Wi-Fi in a building. So,
it's pretty impressive sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that.
Go through all your mobile data in about 10, 15 minutes.
Watching 4K YouTube videos?
Yeah, that'll do it.
Nice. 4K fractal videos, you know.
Well, those should be able to be compressed well.
You think? Are they logical enough to be compressed?
I don't know. Now we're going to have to see which format compresses fractals the best.
Yeah. I always think that's... Have you ever been to the Grand Avenue Bridge webcam? Have you gone and watched the exciting action of the
I need to go
guys
down there
pouring concrete and stuff? You know?
I need to go down there and walk across the pedestrian bridge and check it out.
Well, they're using whatever the compression algorithm is so that it paints the picture and then it only updates the pixels with movement.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes it repaints the whole picture like brown and then the only pixels that refresh. So you have this totally brown screen and then it's like car moving through it. You know? So
nice.
Anyway. All right. You've wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes of your life.
That's another edition of Geek Speak. Thank you, Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thank you, Marty.
And thank you, Matt McBrayer.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Yeah, we had another lovely edition of Geek Speak on KDNK. Hey.
Break your computers. Come back next week. Call us.